and they were scared for their life. And this was Peter, right? This is Peter who was, no, I'll never deny you, Lord. I'm going to be there forever. I will die with you. And Jesus is like, you're not. Like, you will deny me, right? So this is Peter now, filled with the Spirit, coming into the, which we call the church age, right? We call what I'm going to call the Spirit age, when the Spirit was given to us, and Peter steps out, and these guys are on fire, right? They're on fire with the Holy Spirit that is within them. So then that takes us, then we know that Scripture talks about the gifts of the Spirit, which we've talked about in here, and we've looked at them before. So jumping over now to 1 Corinthians. There's the in this specific list of gifts, 1 Corinthians 12, I'm going to call these out, verse 7 through 11. Now, each one that manifestations of the Spirit is given for the common good. Okay? So these gifts are given for the common good of the church. And this is where we're at. To one there is given through the Spirit the message of wisdom. To another the message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another faith by that same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between the spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And to still another, to the interpretation of those tongues. All these are the work of the one and the same Spirit, and He gives them to each one just as He determines. Just as He determines. Out of that list, I wanted to look at that gift of faith, right? Because that's what I've been focusing on, that gift of faith. So when you pull out, so we know of faith. So we know that when Christ came and Christ died and the Spirit was given, everyone was given a sense of the Spirit of faith to be allowed to understand who Jesus Christ was, right? So that gift has been given to all humanity to have a sense of faith to see who Christ is as our Savior. But this is specifically calling out a gift of faith, like beyond that faith, So we have the faith of Christ as our Savior that is open to people. Can seek who Christ is and understand they have that faith in Christ as our Savior. But then it gets into these, like Hebrews 11, these men and women of God who have this super, almost like a supernatural faith, right? That they can understand and go through all sorts of stuff and still have this ability to look at Christ and know that God is in control and still just continues to walk through everything that's going on. They have this gift of faith that they can just see it. What was faith? Now, Hebrews 11, 1. Now, faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. That faith is a gift. A gift within the Spirit, and what we just saw was that Spirit is given for what? The Spirit is given for the common good. For the common good of the church. Some of us in here are going to have a spirit of faith. Some of us are going to have a spirit of healing. Some of us are going to have a spirit of, determining the spirits, right? Some of us are, so we had these different gifts. That gift of faith, that's the one I was driving at, right? That's the one. I know that not everybody has that faith. Not everybody has that faith, but when we look at these people, when we looked at Hebrews 11, these guys had this gift of this dig in. I can see God working. I know He will do it. I know He is faithful. So how can we get that as a believer? We know it's a gift. We know it's there. How can we get that gift? How can we get that gift of faith? For not just us, but because faith is an attractor, isn't it? When you see somebody that has faith, like stupid faith, like people think, what were they thinking? Because they're not, they just know God can do it, and they're walking that path, and they don't listen to the naysayers. They don't listen sometimes to common sense. It just doesn't make much sense sometimes when someone knows what their purpose that God has them to do, and they are just walking that line. And people are like, man, they're idiots. Or what are they doing? They're walking in faith. And sometimes walking in faith, right, doesn't make much sense from when you look on the outside. When you're walking in faith and you know God's in control and you know God has that plan and you know the purpose and you walk that line, it's not stupid to you because God has given you a purpose. And that attracts people. That's an attractor. It's like a glittery thing. And it's not, they say, when you start reading about a lot of these faithful people, faithful men and women, they're not like, and that they're attractors. People look at them and say, how in the world can they do that? How can they go through that and endure that and keep walking? Because it attracts people's people notice that. It's different, right? It's a different thing. And that faith attracts other people and it pulls people from what they see as this faithful person to our God that comes back to say, I want to know who their God is. I want to know more of who Jesus is. I want that salvation in my life. I want that same drive and power and determination of a God and a faithfulness. I want that in my life. It's an attractor. And then we see, how do we get that? How do we get that? That's my thing. How do I get that? How? We pray for it. We pray for it. When we look at Mark, there's the story of the evil spirits that filled this boy in Mark 9. And we remember the apostles tried to jump over to Mark 9. Verse 17, it starts. A man in the crowd answered, Teacher, I brought you my son who is possessed by a spirit that has robbed him of his speech. Whenever it seizes him, this evil spirit, it throws him to the ground. He foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, and becomes rigid. I asked your disciples to drive out the spirit, but they could not. So the disciples couldn't drive this spirit out. And here are these faithful men, right? These God-fearing men who have done all sorts of miracles and all sorts of stuff, and they couldn't drive them out. Why? Why? Verse 19. O unbelieving generation, replied Jesus, how long shall I stay with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring the boy to me. So they brought him the boy. When the spirit saw Jesus, it immediately threw the boy into convulsions. He fell to the ground and rolled around, foaming at the mouth. Can you imagine seeing that? I mean, I think there's a lot of demonic possession of people today, but nonetheless. Jesus asked the boy's father, how long has he been like this? From childhood, he answered. It has often thrown him into the fire or water to kill him. But if you can, listen to this, but if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us. And Jesus says this, if you can, ? What do you mean, if I can? The guy didn't have, like, he had this question. if you can. Jesus says, be faithful. Not if you can. It's you can. Not if you can. Or not if, and a prayer in that faith, because that's the faith we're supposed to have. Jesus replied, verse 23, everything is possible for him who believes. Now, if I hold to scripture, and we talk about this, and there's a lot of people in the church world, I didn't bring my water up here, who talk about, yeah, we're supposed to believe, but then, you know, it's, you're not, Jesus can't do everything that you want, or that you can. Scripture tells me right here that anything is possible. Anything. Anything is possible for those that love, I'm sorry. Everything is possible for him who believes. Him who believes. And then we see that Christ then sends this spirit out. And then he tells the disciples, this spirit can only come out through prayer. You can only get this spirit out through prayer. But they had, Jesus says, anything, thanks Justin, anything is possible. Anything is possible. Do I believe that? That was my question for me. Do I believe it? Do you believe it? Because if we really believe that, and scripture tells us our God is the same God as he was as at the beginning, and we know, and when we talk about Revelation, I've been praying this prayer, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty who was and is, and so is and is to come. It's the same God. It's the same God. So do I really believe that he can do anything, everything, if I believe? So my belief maybe is pretty tiny. If God can do these tremendous great things that we see through scripture based on faith, and we're given a gift from the spirit of faith, and scripture tells us that all things are possible for those that believe. And we see in throughout scripture, and we see men and women who have walked the path of faith, that all these miraculous things and signs and wonders have taken place walking in faith. Do I believe it? I say I believe it. I say I live it. But do I? You know what I mean? Do we? Do we? Prayer. We need to continue to pray. A gift of the Spirit is faith. We need to continue to pray for our church. We need to continue to pray for each other. We need to continue to pray for this faith, that we can increase our faith because it's a gift. And what we know of gifts are, they're given to however God wants to divvy them up. And they're open to us. We need to be praying for that power of faith in our life. Like that's something we need to be praying for. Of this faith. This power of faith. And I was thinking about this. I know I'm running a little late. I was thinking about this. After, you know, our discussion last week. And I was talking to a pastor yesterday from a big church, and he said when he started, like, that church was down to 18 people, and they just built this huge church. He said, just continue to remain faithful. Continue to walk, do what you're doing. Just keep walking and walking and walking. And I thought about our church, and I thought, you know, when it comes to faith, it was like this. When scripture talks about in Ephesians, 2 Timothy, It talks about fanning the flame. You know, it talks about fanning the flame. And when you talk about the spirit, so the spirit came out and it was like a flame on their head. And if you fan that flame, what happens when you fan a flame? It's like that Weber grill. You know, they put the vent in the thing, it sucks the air up and it kind of fans that flame to create this great Weber grill that cooks so well because this flame was, you know, is being fanned. But what else is going on in there? That there's these coals in there. And years ago, so Paul tells Timothy, don't let your fire die. Don't let it die out, right? Don't let that fire die. When years ago, we harvested some trees on our property and the trees were all down. So I left them sitting. And the winter time came. I was like, I'm going to get a fire going. And I would bring out wood like once a week, every other day. And like that had that fire burning for like, I don't know, 3 months straight. I kept that fire going, just put stuff on there and just keep burning. And as long as, and this was through the winter time, and that thing burned, it would just burn. And you know, like sometimes like after, I don't know, a week after you have a big brush pile or something, you get to throw something on it, all of a sudden you see some smoke going because it's still kind of hot and still kind of burning. Well, I had this big pile out in the field burning. Like it got so cold one night that it was so cold that it put even the coals out. Everything was out. Like it, I had to bring the fire back. It was running, and then it got really cold, like really cold, and it put that fire totally out. But then you have to get it kind of kicked back up. You have to fan the flame. You have to get this thing going back in. But once those coals are dead, to bring that thing back up, it takes some work. But when the coals aren't dead, you can fan it right back, right? Scripture, it's kind of like this. With Scripture, we have that faith. That faith is here in this church. This church is faithful. This church right here has, I said last week about a dead church, and I didn't mean dead people, right? I didn't mean like anything like that. But our church has these, we have the coals that it's here. I'm just trying to fan this as I was thinking about faith, fanning that flame, bringing the coals back to life, bringing these coals back to this fire. That's what the Spirit is here for. The Spirit is giving us a gift of faith. Paul told Timothy, fan that flame. I felt like the Lord telling me, Jeff, just continue to fan the flame. Fan the flame. You know, don't, so that's my faithfulness is I'm fanning the flame. Fan the flame, right? This church has been here a long time. The coals aren't out. Is it? They're not out. I mean, you guys are here. So let's just come, my prayer, and this is like the next, and we've been praying all the time, right? Let's use the biblical reference of prayer and call out to our Savior, our God, because let's pray His word to Him. Because He's a faithful God, isn't He? And He's faithful. And He doesn't forget His promises. He comes back around. We'll see that again in Hebrews when we go back. But God does not forget His promises. But let's pray that promise back to Him. God, I'm fanning the flame. Bring the coals back to life. Bring these coals back on fire. Have the Spirit work in my life, in your life. Have the Spirit work in this church's life. Because the coals aren't dead. We just have to fan those flames with faith. A faithful, consistent fanning the flame. That Weber grill. When the Spirit came, these men of God, ramped up. I mean, they ramped up. They ramped up because they had the Spirit of God within them. And if faith is one of those gifts, we need to pray for that gift in our life. Pray for that gift for each other. So as we close in prayer here, I just want you to turn to some people next to you. We're going to close out in prayer with each other individually, praying specifically that the power of faith, the gift of faith, will be given to us as a church, right? And that that gift that's given to us as a church, that's given to us as people, that we can affect and pursue a faithfulness. I hope this makes sense. I don't know if I'm making sense to you, right? That we can pursue a faithfulness that honors the Lord, that we will walk in a way for knowing the purpose that God has given us. That's the prayer. So let's, as we close in prayer, just turn to each other. Pray specifically for you and then specifically for this church, that those flames can be fanned and that faithfulness will fall on us. Okay, let's pray. Go ahead. And you can pray out loud.